Okay, well, for the second time, good afternoon. And please open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. While you're opening there, I want to welcome Cho-san and Ho-san. Yeah, ni hao, is that right? Ni hao. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't have a PhD. I'm not trying to have a PhD. I have 6 children. It's enough of a PhD, yeah. So yeah, I have a doctorate of fatherhood. Maybe, I don't know. And then there's 2 ladies here, I think Japanese maybe. You've been here before, I think. No? First time? Your first time. Welcome. Yeah, welcome here. Sorry. Can you say your names? Is that okay? Please tell us your names and let us know who you are.
Maria
Shimoda. Maria Shimoda. And? Kuniko-san. Okay. Welcome to our church. Yes, thank you. Wow. I thought it was you've been here before, but I'm so happy your first time to our church is on a Christmas celebration. So I hope that you can feel God's love and that you'll hear God's voice. I know that God let you come today because he wants to give you a gift or a message. So yeah, welcome to church. Yeah, okay. We have a few more minutes before the candles come down and burn the thing. So, yeah, I'll go as fast as I can for that. Yeah, all right. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is the basic Christmas story. And I'll read it for you. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And let's read together, verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The very words of God. Amen. This is the story we read every year, and I love it. It's the story of the birth of Jesus to a young woman named Mary, who was engaged to a man named Joseph. And while they were engaged, before Joseph and Mary slept together, before this, Mary was pregnant. Surprise. And Joseph He had the legal right to say, okay, you're pregnant, not from me. I can divorce you, and I can announce it that you are a woman who is terrible and make it public and leave you out. But Joseph was a kind man. He had that right. But instead of making it public and making it messy and making it a bit divorce and rumors and God, no. I'll divorce you quietly. And that's enough. And while he was planning this, an angel visited him in a dream. And he explained to him, don't divorce your fiance. This is from God. What would you do if you were Joseph? Would you trust? Would you believe? Well, if it's an angel, maybe I would. Yeah. Angel's pretty impressive. Yeah, it's an angel. Yeah. So it's hard to say no. So Joseph believed and he trusted. Yeah, Yuki, go ahead and go to the next slide. No. I'll go back. I'm sorry. Right there. Yeah. But this is the story. But maybe you missed it. There is a story inside the story. Yeah. It's like a Russian doll, you know, the mamushka doll. You open it, and there's another doll inside. Yeah. That's this story. And you open it, what's the story? It's there in verse 22, 23. Right? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The prophet. Who is the prophet? Right? The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Who is Emmanuel? That is the story inside the story. So, I want to tell you this story. The story in the story. That's today's thing. Because usually, at Christmas, this story is not explained. But it's such a good story. Oh, it's so good. So I'm excited to share this story inside the story with you. So, this quote from verse 22 and 23, it comes from the prophet named Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, or Yuki. This is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Very simple. It's the same thing we read in chapter 1, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, the question is, who is you here? This one. Did I turn it on? You. Who is you? Okay? That's the question. So, Yuki, let me give you. Here it is. This is the context of chapter 7, Isaiah. Please imagine some kings. When Ahaz was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz and say to him, 'Be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all.'" All right, that's the backstory. All right, Yuki, go ahead. All right, here's some image for you, okay? Three kings. King number one, the wreath is in the way. Zanin. Okay, there's a king here. That's Ahaz, King Ahaz. He is the king in here, Jerusalem, Judah. To the north is King Pekah of Samaria in Israel. And to the north is King Rezin of Aram, also known as Syria. The capital is Damascus. What's the situation? These two kings, Rezin and Pekah, they wanted to fight against this king, Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. Assyria was the empire, the strongest superpower in the world. And it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so these two kings said, no, we have to fight. But we cannot fight him alone. So they said, Ahaz, come and fight with us against Tiglath-Pileser. Let's go against him. If you don't join us, then we will fight you. And you have to surrender. So, two kings, they want to fight one big king, the emperor, but in order to fight him, they want him to join. Okay? You with me? All right, now, Ahaz has the problem. I don't want to fight these two, and I don't want to fight him. It's like, for example, the king of Tokyo and the king of Osaka come to the king of Hiroshima, and they say, you have to join us, and we're going to fight the United States of America. Yeah, that's the image, okay? Because Assyria was the superpower in the whole world at that time, okay? Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah, silly. So Ahaz thinks, now I have one or two choices. Choice number one, I join these two so I can fight him. That's crazy. We're going to lose, okay? Or I join him. I don't join him. I ask him, Tiglath-Pileser, come help me. Help me fight these two. Or in other words, please remove these two. But if Ahaz chooses or asks Tiglath-Pileser to help him, Ahaz becomes the slave of this king. He needs this help. But the help has the cost. The cost is, after Tiglath-Pileser removes Rezin and Pekah, Ahaz must pay the tax, must give a tribute, must serve Assyria. Choice A, lose. Choice B, lose. In English, we call this a lose-lose situation, right? Do you know this? Lose-lose. So what does Ahaz do? He does nothing. The prophet Isaiah comes. The prophet Isaiah says, Ahaz, stand firm in your faith. Don't trust Pekah or Rezin. Don't ask Tiglath-Pileser. Trust God. Ask God for help. Don't do A, don't do B, do C. Right? And Ahaz says, if I join Pekah and Rezin, I understand. That's one option. If I ask Tiglath-Pileser and join him, that's a good option. Trust God? That's kankenai. That doesn't help me trust God. I'm not going to do that. So, Isaiah comes a second time. Second time. Ahaz, I'm telling you, God wants to help you. God is going to help you. So, you know what, Ahaz? You can ask God for a sign. Ask him. You want lightning? Do you want an angel? Do you want some kind of, you know, amazing miracle? What do you want? Ahaz, ask God for a sign. And Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask God for anything. I don't care. I don't need a sign. I need horses. I need chariots. I need swords. I don't need a sign. I'm not going to test God with a sign. So Isaiah says, okay, you don't want a sign, but you know what? God will give you a sign anyway. All right, Yuki, look at the next slide. This is from Isaiah chapter 7. This is continued. It's a little bit small, I'll read it for you anyway. All right. So again, verse 10. The Lord spoke to Ahaz through Isaiah. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Ask God for anything. Verse 12. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put God to the test. Verse 13. Then Isaiah said, will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey, and when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, for before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. King Ahaz, God is going to give you the sign. What's the sign? Very small sign. Some girl. They call her an Alma. Alma means a virgin. She's not married, but she'll give birth to a son. And when that son has been born, Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, will come down, attack King Pekah and King Rezin. He will remove them, and he will help you escape from the two kings. And when that baby is growing up, he's still a small boy, 3 years old, 4 years old. He's still small, but by the time the boy has become 3 or 4 or 5 years old, there is no more King Pekah, no more King Rezin. The problem is, Assyria is there. Assyria will tax you. Assyria will press you. You will have no more food. Well, you'll have some food. You see, King Ahaz, because of Assyria's power, he will take all of your gold, all of your silver. You don't have enough bread. You don't have enough meat. The only thing you can eat is honey and curds. Because the hand of Assyria is so heavy. That is the sign of God. And the child's name, by the way, is Emmanuel, God with us. Im, with, nu, us, El, God, right? God with us, Emmanuel. And then, verse 17, the Lord will bring you and your people on and the house of your father a time unlike since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. In other words, I'm getting to Christmas, trust me. All right, I'll get there. I know, it's the story within the story. Pastor Chris, what's the lights, the candles, the gifts, the presents, the tree? Trust me, it's coming. But the sign that God is with us is the king coming to remove the other kings and making you suffer. Wow. Wow. Is this good? It gets better. Trust me. Get to the next slide, Yuki. Okay. So, in chapter 7, God promises a boy. Chapter 8, the boy, it says, the land of Israel, the land of Judah, it's his land. So this Emmanuel is not just any boy. He is the king. He is the savior of Israel. He's the savior and king of Judah. All right. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, that's the big, big verse that everyone knows at Christmas time. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. This is the famous Christmas verse. But you have to understand the story behind the story. That this Emmanuel is not just a little boy, but he's the king that everyone is waiting for. The king that will save Israel. So, what is the meaning of Emmanuel? Because it does not sound good. Pastor Chris, Emmanuel means the king of Assyria is going to come and oppress us? That's the sign? That's the meaning of Emmanuel? The answer is yes. But you have to understand something. Go ahead, Yuki. Here it is. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A sign. Now, we understand. The place we read in your bulletin is from Matthew. Matthew. Matthew is the disciple of Jesus. And Jesus has gone to the cross. He's died. He's been buried. Jesus resurrected from the dead. And he has ascended into heaven. And Matthew is writing the story of Jesus, the whole gospel. And he's reflecting, my Lord Jesus is now resurrected. I want to write his story. And what does he do? He starts at the beginning, at the birth. And he's thinking, Jesus, when he was born from Mary, not Joseph. Wait. Mary, not Joseph. Mary was it was a miracle. She was a virgin who gave birth to Jesus. Wait. I know this story. I've read this before. So he reflects and he thinks, Isaiah. Isaiah talked about Jesus in chapter 7. The virgin will give birth to a son. That son from the virgin in Isaiah is my Lord who was born to the virgin Mary. So he puts these two things together. Yuki, give me one more. Everyone says Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He's not a man who became God. He's God who became man. He's the Son of God. He is human and divine. He's the Son of God. Okay, yes. But at Christmas, we understand Jesus is the sign of God. Not the Son of God, the sign of God. And that sign is Emmanuel. What is it? Pastor Chris, please get to the Christmas tree. I'm here now. I'm here. On this hand, you have King Ahaz, the Old Testament. On this hand, you have Mary and Joseph. On this hand, Ahaz rejects God, and Emmanuel is the judgment of God through Assyria. On the other hand, you have Jesus. And Jesus is the salvation of God who brings peace and salvation. The Bible is both the Old and the New. The Bible is both Isaiah and Matthew. Emmanuel means God is with us both for judgment and for salvation. Now please, this is good news. In fact, this is so important. What he's saying is this. I have good news and bad news. The good news is God is with us. The bad news is God is with us. Yeah, it's both. How is it good news that God is with us and bad news that God is with us? For Ahaz, he doesn't want God. He rejects God. He doesn't need God. So bad news, God is with you. God is with you, and he's going to judge your evil, your corruption, your prostitution, your oppression, your exploitation, everything, your idolatry. God is going to judge you because he is with you. That's the bad news. If you don't want God, it's not good for you if God is with you. But if you need God, if you're longing for God, the good news is God is with you. Now, let me switch it again. This is another way to look at it. Everybody is looking for salvation. Everybody needs in their life the meaning, the purpose, something good. The problem is the evil, the suffering, the wrong, the fighting, the arguments, the sickness, the mental depression, the spiritual oppression, the darkness. And we're crying out, God, do you understand? My family needs you. My health is in crisis. The world is falling apart. We need salvation. And God is saying, salvation comes through the judgment. You want salvation. I'm happy to give it. But please understand, it comes through the judgment. God brings salvation through judgment. So, I'm listening to some a philosopher on the internet, and he's talking about this is going to get a little bit up there. Where am I here? So, in the 2000s, the atheists, the non-believers, people who said there's no God, they were very strong. They came out with so many books. They said, nobody needs God. In fact, religious people, they've done more evil and more wrong and more killing than normal people. The problem with the world is the religion. Because religion says there's a God, that means there's a standard, you need right and wrong. And the atheists are saying, no, there is no God. There is no standard. You don't need it. And you know what happened? Now, that was 20 years ago. It's now 2021. And people, especially young people in universities, they understand, No, we need a higher standard for right and wrong. If there is no God, it means there's no evil, there's no good, there's no right, and there's no wrong. But in my life, I understand. I need a God. I need a standard. I need to know that there is a good. And it's not Star Wars good. It's not dark side and light side good. Here's the lie. Evil is necessary for good to exist. That's a lie. People tell you, George Lucas tells you, Disney tells you, the world is a battle between the evil and the good, and they're always fighting. It's yin and yang. They're evil powers, and there's good powers, and they're always in constant struggle. You need the evil for the good. No. Here's how great goodness is. Here's how powerful good is. Good is so strong, good will use evil to accomplish its own evil's demise and good's victory. God uses Assyria to accomplish the salvation of Israel. God uses the cross to defeat evil and to accomplish the salvation of the world. The greatest evil that man could ever do was to murder an innocent man like Jesus. And God used that great evil to accomplish the greatest good, which is the salvation of the world. Now, I'm sorry, it took a little bit of a turn there. Had to go a little bit philosophical. All it is this, for Christmas. Someone needs to pay for the darkness. If you've ever been hurt, insulted, physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, somebody's hurt you, betrayed you, lied to you, exploits you, oppresses you. Someone needs to pay for that evil. We need judgment. But because of God's great love, He took the judgment Himself on that cross. Christmas leads to the cross. And God made our salvation through the judgment of our sin. All our evil, all our sickness, all our sin, and all our idolatry has been paid for through the sign of God, Emmanuel. So, that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah, Christmas is the sign that Jesus is with us for judgment and for salvation. Our salvation is accomplished through the judgment of our sin. Now, it's nice if you get that in your heart or in your mind, you understand with your head. That's nice. It has to get to your heart. How do you know it's in your heart? How do you know that God, Emmanuel, is with you in your heart to change and transform you? How do you know? What's the one way that you know? Here's it real simple. Someone has hurt you. Someone has lied or betrayed you. Someone has sinned against you. It's very simple. Jesus says, when you pray, pray, Father, forgive me as I forgive those who sinned against me. I want you to think of those people right now. Maybe there's one person. Maybe there's a list of them. Right? Okay, you don't have to say amen. That's fine. All right? You know those people. Okay, you can say ouch, yeah. Okay? Yeah. And think of those people. The way you know that Emmanuel is with you in your heart is when you can say, Lord, I want to pray for them. Lord, I want you to bless them. Lord, I want you to give them a great relationship, give them success at their work. Lord, I want you to help them sleep good at night. I want you, Lord God, please let them have a good health and a good Christmas holiday. If you can begin to pray that for those people, Emmanuel has entered your heart. Why? Because you know your blessings, your good, your health, your peace of mind. You don't deserve it. You did not do anything to earn God's acceptance of you. But because of God's kindness and mercy and gentleness and faithfulness, He's given it to you, though you don't deserve it. And you turn to somebody. They don't deserve your kindness, your prayers, your love. But because you've been given the love of God, you're now able to give it to them. That's how you know Emmanuel has entered your heart. That's how you know. Now, Chris, that's impossible. That you don't know what they've done. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how many hours of sleep I lose because of him. Oh, I know. And here's what, but it doesn't matter that I know. Jesus knows. Jesus has been there. That's why he's with us. And so that's why you go to him. You have to go to Jesus. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. It's from James chapter 1. God happily gives you wisdom, peace, love, not for you, but so that you can pray for it to happen to other people. And man, oh God, some of you need to pray for somebody else. And you know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to pray for them. You're going to weep tears, bitter tears. And those tears will become tears of joy and gladness. You go out with tears. You come back with dancing. If you can pray for your enemy, if you can love those who have hurt you, Jesus will be in your heart. You will experience Emmanuel, God with you. That's the Christmas message. That's what we're here to gather for, to rejoice and celebrate. I don't deserve God's blessing, but he's given it to me anyway. They don't deserve my prayers, but oh God, with the power of Jesus Christ in his name, I'm going to pray for them anyway. That is the Christmas message. Can somebody say amen? Okay, thank you. I was sweating up here. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Oh God, I don't know. What's impossible for man is possible with you. I have no power, we have no strength by ourselves to forgive our enemies and pray for those who hurt us. But Jesus, there's power through you and in you. So Lord, I ask it for myself and for my brothers and sisters, and I ask you to be Emmanuel, God with us, in this, even this week. This is my prayer in Jesus' name.